the authority to seek a waiver, which is in the Rehab Act, and we, like many other state VR agencies across the country who couldn't achieve it, clearly the pandemic is a kind of a circumstance that would allow you to pursue a waiver. So that is the budget update, fairly short, and I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Brian, my other question, this is Eileen. I thought one of the O&M vacancies had to do with someone internally transferring to become an O&M instructor. Would that still be affected by, budgetary concerns?
There was a person who at one point had intended to transfer from one program to another, but did not end up transferring by their own choice, not due to budgetary. So what we are left with is the two vacancies in our adult services program that we're seeking to refill.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Brian, this is Stephen. The question, if I remember correctly, were we putting money aside for transitioning employment? How is that being impacted?
Yeah, we are all state VR agencies are required to take 15% of the federal funds that we receive and set them aside exclusively for pre-employment transition services. And like virtually every other state VR program, there's a lot of funding that has been set aside that has not been made available for anything else because it can't be. No opportunities. These are dollars that have been widely left unspent nationally. One of the proposed sentences that was in an earlier version of a COVID relief package did allow for some waiver authority to move some of that money to general VR service needs, but I do not know if it's going to end up in anything that ultimately gets passed. So just like maintenance of effort, this has been a category that state agencies across the country have found very, very difficult to achieve the 15%. And so the money just sits unavailable to use for anything else.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Mr. Chair, I guess with your indulgence, if Andrew's still on the phone, we can shift over to the legislative update.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes?
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was muted or not. Nothing's telling me that I am. Thank you. I don't really have a lot more to report than 3 months ago, but I will say that the budget situation for the next 2 years, the year starting on July 1st, 2021, and, for the last 30 years, Connecticut's been doing a biennial budget, so the biennium ends June 30th, 2023. They're predicting that over those 24 months, there will be a $4.3 billion deficit, a little over $2 billion each year. Now, that's a little bit better than they've been predicting a while back because the stock market has gone up, and of course, whenever there's a lot of trading, there are, of course, a lot of sales, and capital gains kick in, and people owe us taxes on their capital gains in Connecticut. And we've been making hundreds of millions of dollars more than we thought. But kind of what that means is that we have a $4+ billion deficit instead of a $5 billion deficit. So it's good, but it isn't great. And so, and also the transportation fund, the special transportation fund is projected to go into red ink in 3 years. And so they need to think about that. Some people are talking about a gas tax increase, for example, since tolls are decidedly not popular. So whether or not we'll be seeing tax increases, who knows? People are talking once again about legalizing marijuana so they can tax that. And also sports betting is another way to make new money, new revenue for the state. So that's being talked about. And of course, if people smoke a lot of marijuana, they'll probably make even more bets on sports. And so maybe they'll work together to solve the deficit. But those wouldn't make enough money to more than, I don't know, a couple $100 million maybe, when we need $2 billion per year. The governor has also asked agencies to consider ways that they can cut their budgets by up to 10%. And so come February, we'll find out what the governor's ideas are for what our budget and everyone's budget should look like for the next 2 years. There is a rainy day fund of $3 billion. That will become about $2 billion probably, because the year we're in, which ends on June 30th, has an $800 or $900 million deficit. So that'll pull money out of the rainy day fund. And I think the governor doesn't want to use all of the rainy day fund, but may try to use some of it. So we may see trimming in our budget. I don't know. This agency, of course, is hugely made up of federal spending, more than your average state agency. And so in some ways, a state cut can't wipe away all of our spending, but it could have dramatic effect. So that's just an update on the state budget. We're still proceeding with an ADS agency bill, and we did just a couple days ago receive permission from the governor's office to go ahead with the bill. That wasn't surprising, because it's really the same bill that we put in last year. And that bill was ready to be passed by the Human Services Committee in mid-March, when the legislature closed down for 3 days to do a cleaning of the buildings. And they never came back. So no bills really were passed, including ours. So we're going to put in the same bill. We're going to make a little bit of a change. You have a sort of a sister board in the advisory board for persons who are deaf and hard of hearing. That's different than yours. All the membership is appointed by the governor, including people who are, you know, automatic ex officio members, like the director of ASD or the head of the Connecticut Association of the Deaf. But when those positions change hands, we have to get the governor to reappoint the new person. And what we're asking is if they'll let that new person, the new head of the Registry of Deaf Interpreters or Association of the Deaf or ASD, if there's a new person, to let them automatically join the board and not wait for the governor's appointment, because the governor doesn't pick those people, but he still has to in order for them to join the board. So we're going to try to reform that. And really, most of the bill, as I've described before, is technical. One example of that is that in the past, and currently, there are statutes which allow the old CDHI to accept gifts, BSBY to accept gifts, BRS to accept gifts. We're proposing to create just one section which says that ADS can accept gifts or bequests, because there's three sections now and we don't need it. We had investigated the idea of asking the legislature or the legislature's attorneys to create a new section of the statutes for ADS, since we're spread out over seven sections of the statutes. Workers rehab, driver training, the long-term care ombudsman, the state unit on aging, BRS, the deaf, the blind. We, as I say, are spread out over many sections of the statutes, but they're not really interested in doing that, and we can't make them be interested, so that really isn't proceeding, just as an update. So I don't really have anything else to say. Of course, I'll be monitoring bills that legislators will be putting in if they affect people with disabilities, people who are blind, people who are elderly, keeping an eye on those, as I said. But I guess that's my report. We're going to move ahead with our ADS bill. It's largely technical, and we hope this year the legislature will be able to finish and pass the bill.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew. Any questions?
This is Randa. So, Andrew, I believe that a bill will be introduced this coming year that has to do with service dogs and guide dogs. Is that one that you would pick up on and follow?
Yeah, there have been bills. I don't know which bill you're referring to, Randa, but there have been some bills to be a little bit more restrictive about what it means to be a guide dog, and of course, the world has become accustomed to allowing guide dogs in any place. And so if people see a dog in a restaurant, they think that's odd, but not if it's a guide dog or in an airplane. As there's been a growth in people using animals for emotional support and not necessarily to perform a task, there are some people who say it's gotten to be too much. However, on the other side of that argument are people who say that while they aren't trained to perform a certain task the way a guide dog for a person who's blind or deaf or a person who has seizures may be trained, that those dogs are important to people with disabilities, typically mental or emotional disabilities. And so when some people put in bills to kind of narrow down the public use of dogs in that regard, there's been blowback. There's been people who are lawyers and advocates for people with mental disabilities who said that's not right under the spirit or even the law of ADA. All of these support animals should be allowed in public premises. And so there's a bit of a tension there. And so in the past, some of those bills have not yet moved forward to get stricter about service dogs, because there's been, you know, argument made on the other side that people with emotional difficulties, mental difficulties, have a need also. If that's the area you're talking about, Randa.
Well, no, but that's...
Oh, sorry.
Well, you know what? What I'm thinking of, I can't remember what they called it. They did introduce it last year, but I don't remember what it was called, but it has a lot to do with trying to make the laws in Connecticut regarding service animals more in line with the federal laws. So
okay, well, I'll certainly be on the lookout, and I can pass on to the board any bills that get submitted.
Okay.
And let you know about them, and let you know about scheduled public hearing dates if that happens as well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know how public hearings and such are going to work. My guess is that it'll be Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. But of course, one of the issues they may have to deal with is, you know, some public hearings would go into the wee hours of the morning, but eventually people would get in their cars and go home. Now, if you attend a legislative Zoom hearing, and there's, you know, 1,400 people, because you just can sit in your own apartment and with your laptop and, I don't know what, sign up somehow, I don't know. You may just set your alarm clock to 3 a.m. if you drew number 168, and wake up and say, yeah, I'm here, ready to talk. So I don't know, the hearings may never end. I just don't know what their plans are for public participation and public hearings and the conduct of meetings. But I don't think it'll work for them to be shut down the way they were last session. I think that the public and other people will demand that they be active. And I'm sure a lot of them are itching to be more active.
Right. Okay.
Andrew, I don't know the extent to which the agency is in touch, and by the agency I do mean ADS, is communicating with our federal delegation, but with regard to the set-aside for pre-employment training services, if it is becoming a problem where it's an effective embargo on funds, I wonder if anybody in our federal delegation is A, aware of that, and B, has sufficient interest to propose doing something about it.
Well,
this is Brian.
I'll refer to Brian.
Yeah, with your permission, I do know that a National Council of State Agencies for the Blind has been tracking this issue where it has been in Congress, and from what's being reported back to us, the members of Congress
that are actively involved in the COVID relief packages where this language has been put forth are very, very hesitant, and in some cases very opposed to allowing the pre-employment transition set aside funds to be opened up for broader use, even if it's on a one-time basis. Congress, from what these legislative aides reported, has stated that it was a very deliberate decision to carve out these funds to utilize for students with disabilities, and they're not necessarily inclined to send out any message that would reverse their stance. So I guess what I would say is that I think that there are very many members of Congress that are familiar with this issue, and whether or not it ends up in the COVID bill or not, along with a number of the other waivers that were requested, I guess we'll just have to see how it works its way through Congress.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of it in terms not of a one-shot waiver, but rather something, a permanent solution, because it occurs to me that perhaps members of Congress, when they put this in the Workforce Innovation and Whatever Act, may not have been aware that of what the actual funding need was. It seems that somebody just came up with this number of 15% that sounded magical, and they all decided to go with it, and now they're afraid to backtrack on it. That's really more more soapbox commentary than actual question.
I understand it, and again, our policy advisor, Dr. Frederick Schroeder, former RSA commissioner, who some of you may know, and he is pretty well versed on what members of Congress are saying about this. And what he reports back is they are very, very aware of the 15%, that this was a decision that was made with a great intent on their part, and that there has not been any receptiveness toward altering it, be it on a short-term or even on a long-term basis. But as you know, as members of the advisory board, all of you are certainly free to contact your members of Congress if you feel that this is something you want to take on. But that was the update that I would give.
Great, thanks. Any other questions for Andrew? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to... Oh, I'm sorry, was that a question? Okay, doesn't sound like it. Points to the good and welfare.
Well, this is Eileen. I just want to tell the advisory board members that there was a nice article out from Bookshare, I guess we'd call it their newsletter, featuring Jolene Nemeth, who is a rehab teacher, technology person at Bestie.
Oh, very nice.
Great.
On Bookshare?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to send a link to, for that so that we could read it?
I don't think so.
I'm glad you appreciate my sense of humor.
I could probably, we saw it at some point. This is Mary Berger. We have it. Yep. I could probably send it. I could track it
that
down.
That would be excellent. Okay, that'd be great. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, it was a really nice article, actually. Thanks for bringing that up, Eileen.
Sure.
Any other points to the good and welfare? Hearing none, we move to adjournment. Do I hear motion?
This is Randa. I motion to adjourn.
Second.
Eileen seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good then. We are adjourned, and we will see you in the spring. Happy holidays to all.
Happy holidays,
everybody. Bye-bye now.